Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Father Michael Flager joins us again, and usually we're talking about something different, but today we're talking about you. How are you?
I'm fine, Lisa. How you doing?
You don't like to talk about yourself, do you?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really at all.
Congratulations. 50 years of, do you say, of priesthood? Is that what it is?
I was ordained May 14th, 1975, and came straight here as an assistant pastor, and then 1981 became pastor. So, yeah, maybe the best word is survivor.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were born and raised in Chicago, right?
Yep, I was born and raised in the Wrightwood area at 81st and Tallman. Grew up there until I went to Quigley High School. Then I went and got my bachelor degree from Loyola University, and then went to St. Mary's University for graduate school.
Father, I was just talking about my very first protest at St. James Catholic School in Rockford, Illinois, because I told my mom I was going to tell Sister Frances DePaul that I could wear a blue skirt, and it was denim. And my mother said, be respectful, and then she got the call, come pick your daughter up. Okay, so that was my very first protest, but you have made a life of protesting and advocating and standing up for things that you believe in, and it just...
I'm a follower of Dr. King, and he's probably been the main influencer in my life, I try to follow his five steps for social change, and it always starts with education. You try to educate the person about, you know, the issue and what's wrong and how we can fix it. But that doesn't always work. Then comes negotiation, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Then comes self-purification. You look at yourself, say, are you doing it for the right reason? And then the fourth is always demonstration. And unfortunately, education, negotiation doesn't seem to always work too well. People, you know, harden in and don't move. And it's supposed to be the fifth step of reconciliation, but that doesn't always happen either.
No, it doesn't.
But that's the process I try to follow. Unfortunately, you know, we're in a world that you have to fight for what you believe. You know, particularly right now, it's just we're in crazy times.
Absolutely. So it was when you saw Dr. King in 1966 at Marquette Park that really imprinted who you would become as an adult.
Absolutely. I heard he was coming, and I lived at that time in 81st and Tallman, which is about a 20-minute bike ride away. And I had heard everybody was angry about him coming, because he was coming to march down Kedzie into Marquette Park for open housing. And so everybody was angry about it. And when I asked my mother what she thought about him, and she said, he's a good man. And that was all she ever said. So when it got closer, I know if I asked if I could go over there, my mother said, you're not going near that place. So myself and two of my friends, we rode our bikes over there. And that was so crazy, Lisa, because we rode first down Western Avenue to 71st. And then we were riding west over from 71st Street to Marquette Park. And when we got to 71st, like at Washtenaw, there was a Ku Klux Klan headquarters there that I never knew about.
Wow.
And this like a two-story building with the N-word written over it. Swastikas were all around the building, and it was crazy. And I remember some years later asking my mom why she'd never told me about it, and she said that her and my dad refused to ever drive down that street. So that my sister or I would never see that. So we got in the park anyway, and one of my friends took care of the bikes, because he was wondering why the hell we were there to begin with. And so he took care of the bikes. And this other friend of myself, we went walking over and toward the area where Dr. King came into the park at 67th and Kedzie. And actually, there's a memorial there now that we helped build with the Muslim Action Network to Dr. King's visit to the park. And right at 67th and Kedzie.
Okay, so 50 years ago, when you became a priest, did you believe you would be a renegade like you are, or that you would become the activist that you are, or were you a rule follower back then?
No, not really. I kind of was always like this. I got kicked out of the seminary then got back in. When I was in college, I was the coordinator for Loyola University for the anti-Vietnam War activities. And myself organized, as well as the guy who was head from Northwestern, we at that time closed down Lakeshore Drive at one time in trapping the South of Vietnam War. So I was always kind of involved in issues. And, you know, I think, Lisa, it really goes back to the root of it. I say where it all began was with my sister had a mental challenge. And in those days, you know, talking back in 1975.
They put kids away. They institutionalized them, right?
Yeah, she was a constantly called. They always called retarded, and they laughed at her and pointed at her, and they wanted to institutionalize her. My mom and dad refused to, and they were going to do what they could do at home for her. And I always hated the way she was treated. And then I spent two summers in freshman and sophomore high school in a Native American reservation in Oklahoma. And I learned about genocide and what happened to Native Americans. Then I go to the west side of Chicago and get involved with Dr. King and stuff, and I find out about all the racism in Chicago. So I think it all was a root, though, of something that started with my sister, to be honest with you.
I bet. Okay, so we have one text I'm going to share that speaks very highly of you. And somebody else said, well, here's my problem with Father Flager. Didn't he have to take a vow of obedience?
Yeah, well, and you know, absolutely, I had to take a vow of obedience, and but understand, we have to. I think we all understand that our job as Christians is to live our faith, and I just felt in the last number of years that Christianity has become very safe. You know, you look back to the days when priests were marching with Dr. King in Selma, and in Birmingham, and in Montgomery. The Catholic Church, you know, perfect example, Leo the 13th, who Leo the 14th is now modeling after. He's the one that wrote the whole thing, and then Reverend Navarum, about social justice and fighting for the poor and for the workers' rights. We had Monsignor Higgins, who was the biggest spokesperson in the country for unions. The Dan Berrigan brothers and Dan and Bill Berrigan. I mean, their fight for justice with the farm workers and the anti-war. So there's always been priests, I think, who have been very involved. Father Dick Morris, who got shot in Selma with Dr. King.
Tell me what you know about our new Pope, and have you met him? And what do you think his influence will be, not only on the world but on this country?
Well, I have not met him, but I'm in that sense with yet.
Yes.
I want to meet him. I'm very happy about him. And since I don't know him, I've just read as much as I can, obviously, since he became Pope. But what I love most about it so far is he wants to follow in the steps of Francis, who I think was one of the most amazing popes we've had. And I think people understand, doctrinal-wise, he's a conservative. You know, he's not going to change married priests. He's not going to change, you know, a stance against male and female marriage. He's not going to change a stance against abortion. Doctrinal, he's going to be very conservative. But I think philosophical, he wants to be inclusive. So if a woman had an abortion, she shouldn't be just shunned away. You know, you still bring her back in, and you love her, and you bring her back into the church. Divorced people. I mean, there were so many times people that were divorced just were embarrassed. They walked away from the church.
Right.
Shame on the church. You know, so he was inclusive, and he fought for the poor and the disenfranchised, and for the and fought for justice, and you know, was very well. This new guy, the day. He's already spoken about the treatment of the immigrants. And Francis, the day he died, that's Easter Sunday, he spoke about the treatment of the immigrants. So I think this new guy is going to, and I think the great thing for me, Lisa, is having lived and grown up in America, he knows the ideals of this country. And I think sees what's happening now and is very, at least I hear from somebody who knows him, is very concerned with what's happening, the division and the alienation and the way people are just being losing jobs and the way people are just putting on planes and deported. I think he's going to be a moral compass, which is what I think the church is always supposed to be.
Absolutely.
A moral compass.
Absolutely. Let me share this final text with you, Father Flager, since we're up against news time. This comes from one of our texters. It reads, a number of years ago, Father Flager spoke at an area university at which I was serving as a trustee. I rarely get emotional or upset at a presentation. However, he really made me mad. Not at him, but at the inequities that he was pointing out. I am not a Catholic, but I feel strongly about the leadership he is giving not only to his congregation, but to all of society. I admire him and will continue to do so. I agree. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, whoever you are. Thank you, Lisa.
Always great to talk to you. Have a beautiful day and come
great
back again.
Great to talk to you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Get the weather warm, will you?
Yeah, please. Something. I'm as bothered by that as you are.